Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 236 of Nerd Pride Radio. 236 is the average number of people married per day in 2009 who first met on eHarmony. Thank you, Kyle, for that interesting fact. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How is thou doing today?
I am awesome. My name is Aiden Jones. I am a video game nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, horror movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, role-play nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on... Oh, the place I go every week, just me, Aiden, with no mic, to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore.
Wait, Aiden, if you don't have a mic, then how are you recording this?
Oh, you told me you would kill me for that pun. I can't believe you just made it yourself. My co-host this week is Emily, you know, from Listener Betrayal. Now, all of that is not true. That is the intro that Aiden had written up for last week. And, I guess this is a little meta talk.
Oppenheimer!
That's right. Time for a little meta talk where I pull back the curtain, open the kimono, talk a little inside baseball, show you guys how the sausage was made. And last week, I was on vacation in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. And because I was gone, Aiden and Emily decided that they would record a podcast without me. And those of you who are Platinum members already know this because they sent out a question last week, or questions. And many of you gave really good answers to those. And they recorded a very long episode. And from what I hear, it was really entertaining. And then there was a horrible cat accident while he was doing the editing. My laptop is really old and very rickety. There are some things that...
A cat accident, if you will.
Yes, a cat accident. Yeah. And so therefore, it's easy to disturb this laptop and suddenly everything shuts down and you lose stuff. And anyway, a cat walked across the keyboard and we had problems and he lost everything. And it sucks. Cause I mean, he put a lot into it. I know he had done a crap ton of prep work. Him and Emily got together to make this thing work. He had already done all the editing. He was calling me every 30 minutes while I'm on vacation asking me, okay, so now wait, hold on. If I want to do this part, and it was, darn it. And now it's gone. So I'm about to cry just thinking about it, because I know what that's like to put in that much work for a podcast and then suddenly it gets crapped out and you lose everything. So my apologies that I didn't do a recording the week before that because, look, it's summer, we're busy, I was getting ready for vacation, things happen. And so I figured, you know what, Aiden's got me covered, he'll take care of things, we'll be fine, and then it just screwed up and there was no time to redo it. So, unfortunately, you guys have been without a podcast for 3 weeks, but now I am back. That's right. It's me, Mike Jones, Seven Kinds of Nerd. I'm here. So, I don't have a co-host this week.
Well, except for... Besides your beautiful son.
Except for Noah, who is always beautiful and always my son. So, welcome aboard, Noah. So anyway, that's what happened. And like I say, my heart breaks for Aiden and Emily, but mostly Aiden because he put in a lot of work for this. And thank you, Emily, for sitting in, even if it didn't come through. I really appreciate you guys. And I am so sorry that I don't get to hear that episode because I was really looking forward to it. But anyway, now it is time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, or in this case, many weeks, I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every time I record. You lucky dogs. Straight into it. First up on my gaming, in the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. It's been a long time. I am out of form. I am so sorry. It's going to be a little rusty this time. But first up in the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, it's going to be, I don't even know. Oh, I know. A nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are very, very close. This week on the nerd culture report, I'm obviously going to talk about my vacation. So here's the deal. It is our 25th anniversary. It's actually coming up very shortly here. But it's our 25th wedding anniversary, and we decided that we were going to take a big trip, and, all we knew at first is we wanted to go somewhere that required a passport, because we haven't left the country in ages, and this sounded like a really good idea. So we got our passports, and, my wife was suspecting that we would be going down south, going to Mexico or to the Caribbean or something like this. And my thought was, no, it's hotter there than it is here. I don't know. Why don't we go somewhere where it's more pleasant? We like 70 degree weather. Where can we do that? Well, Canada. That's the answer. And so we looked all across Canada and we finally found Nova Scotia, which is just gorgeous, and it just called to us. I mean, we looked at it and it was everything about Nova Scotia. This East Coast on the ocean. Beautiful beaches, 75 degree weather all week long. I mean, it's just beautiful place. And Halifax is a big enough city with enough tourist stuff that we could do city stuff. But then also plenty of gorgeous countryside to drive around in. And so we did it and we had a great time.
May I add my 2 cents?
Sure. What's your 2 cents?
The only bad part about this vacation was the part before where Mom kept on singing, I'm going to Nova Scotia, I'm going to Nova Scotia.
Well, that was just to rub it into you because
yeah,
you didn't get
I
to
know.
Go. Oh, all right. Well, then you did get it. Okay, I understand. Here's the thing. We got our Canadian money ahead of time, and I am telling you people, you know how much I love currency and how much I want to reform American currency. I want to make it more Canadian. I want to get rid of dollar bills and do nothing but dollar coins, or dollar coins and $2 coins, if that works out for us. I want to get rid of pennies. Canada's already done that ahead of us. And not only that, their bills are gorgeous. Their bills are multicolored. They've got, clear plastic. Well, they're made of plastic and they have clear windows in them with holograms, with Braille for the blind, with, there's so much good about Canadian money. I absolutely loved using it. And, there was I can't remember what it was from, what organization, but they were rating various currencies from around the world. And, Canada got top marks as the number one currency in the world for its practicality and all sorts of other. The only place where Canadian money lost points was that the people who were doing the scoring felt that the best money system would have different sizes for different denominations of bills. So a $20 bill would be larger than a $1 bill, for example. And that way they would be easier to tell apart for the blind, which, again, Canadian money has Braille on it, but yes, that would have made a difference. But then also, you know, when you've got all your bills kind of stacked together, if you grabbed your stack by the wrong end, now all of a sudden you don't have a grip on all of them and the little bills are all falling out. That would seem to me to be impractical. So
may
if that's
I add my loonies and my toonies?
Yeah, you can.
My favorite thing is that the $1 coin and the $2 coins are loony toonies.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly correct. The $1 coin, do you know why it's called a loony?
I don't know why.
Because there's a duck on one side, or it's actually a loon, which is looks like a duck, but it's not. And so it's got a loon on one side, so they called them loonies. And when they came out with $2 coins, well, they are two, so they called them toonies. And they actually have their version of the dollar store was a place called Loonies and Toonies. And you walk in and it's just like a dollar store here in America. but it's called Loonies and Toonies.
Man, I hope there's a bootleg version of Looney Tunes that's just Loonies and Looney Tunes.
It's really good money, people. This is exactly what we should be aspiring for. Like I say, it's beautiful, it's functional, it's environmentally friendly, it's durable, it's, you know what?
It's got a hologram of the president's face on it.
No, it is a hologram of, well, it has holograms of important historical figures. There's one that has the queen on it, but then there's also their first prime minister, and then there's, I can't remember what all of them were. But it doesn't matter. Super cool. Now, here's the other thing I highly recommend if you're going to Halifax. Actually, if you're going on any vacation, if you can get my wife to go with you, awesome. She is so good at vacationing. We went with, because she obsesses about stuff like this. And so before we go, she was just looking at all the stuff that we could do while we were there. She made this huge list of all the things that anyone had ever mentioned anywhere on the internet that you should do while you're in the area. And so she had this huge list of stuff and kind of whittled it down to, well, here's the stuff that looks interesting to us. And here's all the stuff that she then organized it by geographical area. And we got this list of things that we could be doing each day. And the important part, and we worked on this ahead of time, is that we didn't care if we actually got to all of it. All right. It's just like, okay, here's the things that if we're going in this direction, here's the stuff that's in that direction. Here's a list of things to hit. Let's see what we get to. And anything that we didn't get to, if it was really important to us, then, you know, we've got some free time later in the week that we can kind of make that up. But, you know, if we don't get to it, we don't get to it. We'll hit the important stuff. And this way, at least we never ran out of options. And,
by the way, would it have been like more of a super Nova Scotia trip?
Yeah, it was phenomenal. You just can't even imagine. It was phenomenal. This is also not like the trip we took to Wyoming when I was a kid, when I was 15. We went to Wyoming with the Larsons, and Jan Larson was a planner, and Jan Larson had every minute of the day scripted for us. So we had this itinerary, and so we felt like we would get to stuff, and we would start doing things, and it's like, well, we're having a good time here, but oh, nope, no time. We have to move on, because otherwise we'll miss this thing. That was the kind of feeling we didn't want. And so we wound up going where we wanted. We spent as much time as we felt like, and then, okay, hey, time to move on. And so there were some things that we didn't get to, and that was okay. And then there was other stuff that we discovered while we were there that we didn't even realize were an option, and we went to go do those, and had a blast. And so
by the way, how was Peggy's Cove? That was one thing that Mom kept on pointing out.
Oh, Peggy's Cove was amazing. Peggy's Cove is a lighthouse on the rocks, out on Peggy's Cove. It's just this point of land with a lighthouse on it. But you go out and you just crawl over these rocks, and there is just something magical about it that if we had been there in broad daylight, we probably could have stayed there for like 5 hours just wandering around and looking at stuff, because it's just beautiful. Whereas we showed up at dusk as the sun's about to go down, and the fog had come in. It's a fog so thick, like it's not raining, it's not misting, but the fog is so thick that just walking through it, your glasses fog up inside of about 30 seconds, and you can't. So we had to go without our glasses, because otherwise we weren't going to be able to see anything anyway. And it was just cool. Just so cool. We were there, like, we got there as the sun was starting to go down, and so we watched it get darker and darker, and eventually, oh, the lighthouse clicked on and actually started spinning, and the light was going, and it was really cool. So Peggy's Cove was really good. The ovens, the caves.
I'm sorry, why were you in things to... That well, are used to, like, bake caves.
The ovens are a name of a system of seashore caves that have been carved out by the waves. And when the waves come up into them, they echo through these caves. They, like, slam in there, and it sounds like cannons going off. It sounds like thunder. And there are stairs that go down so that you can look inside of them. There's a couple of them that you actually... There's a tunnel that goes through, and you can actually stand inside the cave and watch the water come up underneath you. Just amazing stuff. I never even would have dreamed it was possible. And it was just cool. So,
any other places you went?
Oh God, we went so many places. Wait, all right, hold on. Real quick. I have my wife's itinerary, which she kind of highlighted and marked as we went. So the stuff that we actually got to is what's listed here. So, and I'm not going to bore you guys too much with this, but you know what? You're my friends. You're going to sit through this because that's what friends do. You have to watch my slideshow of my vacation. I'm sorry. It's what we do. We went down, we started off by going down to the harbor the first day. And we walked the boardwalk down there and it was gorgeous and there was all sorts of places to shop and eat. While we were down there, this is the other thing. It was our tour of Canadian foods. We just had a great time. We had a place on the boardwalk called the Stubborn Goat where my wife had lobster poutine and it was the look on her face with her first bite of lobster poutine was amazing because apparently the lobster in it was unbelievably good.
By the way, Dad, quickly, if that food were in Russia, would it be lobster Putin?
No, it would not be lobster Putin. What? hold on, my screen just went dead. So,
this is not. There we go. Because of that joke.
I guess. but then, what else did we do while we're down there? We went to the old burial grounds, which are near there. It's just a really old cemetery in the middle of town. So we're looking at graves from the 1700s. There are people in there that were born in the mid 1600s and are buried in this cemetery. It's just cool to walk around. And I'm telling you, for a little bit of historical perspective, it was interesting to walk through the cemetery and look at all the different graves, because every one of them has a story on it. They always tell you who the person was, who buried them, and it always gives their age when they died. And even sometimes, even when they're 70 years old, it's like 70 years, 2 months, 4 days. It's like they give their exact age for all of them. And
Whoa. As
you're looking through, especially the ones in the 1700s, there were lots of little kids up to about 12 or 15, lots of people in their 20s and a few in their 30s. And then the rest were like late 60s and into their 70s.
Quickly, Dad.
So, just a second. So the whole point of it was, as we were looking around, I think we found in the whole range of the 1700s, we found one person who died in their 40s, like at age 42 or something like that. And you just got this sense that in that day and age, like lots of people died young, but man, if you could make it to 40, then like you're guaranteed a safe 20 years. And then, you know, then you can start worrying about death after that. Once you made it to 40, then you were pretty sure to make it like 65, 66. You know, it was odd to see all the numbers. Go ahead.
What grave had like 59 seconds on it?
None. But there were lots of babies buried.
Because it was like set 70 years for 4 months, 26 days, 12
they weren't, they,
hours,
they weren't quite
minutes,
that precise,
seconds.
No. But anyway, we enjoyed that. we went to the Halifax Public Library, which is fascinating because the Halifax Public Library architecturally is built to look like a stack of books. So when you look at it from one side, the second and third floor are like tilted away from the right angles of the floors below. And so it looks like a stack of books when looked at from one side. When you look at it from another side, it's just this weird odd box shape that juts off. It's just an odd, look up Halifax Public Library. Check out the images. It's very cool. But what we learned there is, Canadian parking garages are weird to us. So, apparently when you go into a Canadian parking garage, you get your ticket at the gate and you have to take your ticket with you when you go inside. And somewhere between the garage and the actual place you're going will be some sort of payment box where you have to slot your ticket in and then either drop in coins or run your credit card and pay for your parking. And you have to do it on your way out so that you get the right timing. And then it'll give you your ticket back that is now validated. And then you can use that to get out of the garage instead of just paying when you leave, like everywhere I've been in the States. No, you have to pay inside the parking garage, and you have to do it anyway. It was odd, and we're just, fortunately, everyone in Canada is so nice, or at least everyone in Nova Scotia is so nice, that this very kindly old couple saw the stupid Americans bumbling around, and they're like, well, you did bring your ticket with you, right? No. Oh, yeah, no, you have to bring your ticket, and they showed us how to use the machine, and they were very, very sweet. Everybody in Canada, so nice.
So anyway, quickly, some of you might have heard me say, "Don't touch my leash burn."
Oh yeah, the leash burn. He actually, I'm like, as he's sitting here next to me, and I got my hand on his leg. There's a scab on the back of his calf. I assume from walking the dogs.
No, it was from playing fetch with Bella.
Oh, it's from when they actually tied you up with leashes? Okay.
No, it's so, when I was playing fetch with Bella.
I know, I'm clearly kidding.
Gosh, dang it.
So, all right. Ugh. And then, here's the capper for the first day. I know, we're only into the first day. It's not going to be this torturous, I swear. Capper for the first day. We went to Sir Sanford Fleming Park. And
Chocolate Lake.
No. Well, we saw Chocolate Lake. That's beside the point. Sir Sanford Fleming Park is important because our house was in the park where we were staying. And we stayed there for $50 a night, and it was amazing. But enough of that. While we were in the park, we walked down to what is called the Dingle. We were staying on Dingle Road, and Dingle Road is named because it dead ends on the Dingle. And the Dingle is a tower, Dingle Tower, which is standing on the edge of the lake, well, not edge of the lake, edge of the that part of the harbor. Anyway, this tower, 110 feet tall, and it is a memorial tower, and you go in the front door, and there is a spiral staircase up to the second level. So you take this wrought iron staircase that's just freestanding in the middle of the room, and it takes you up to the second level, and okay, good, now you're on the second level. Now, the second level, you have to go up like the inside of a lighthouse. They have stairs that go around the outside wall and go all the way up to the third level, which is some, I don't know, 8 stories above you. So you have to go up these stairs around the outside. And there's nothing else in this level. There's nothing here. There's no divisions of floors. There's nothing in the middle. It's just open air, like, again, stereotypical inside of a lighthouse. And you just go all the way up these stairs until you get to the third level, which is way up near the top. And then the third level has one more wrought iron staircase, spiral staircase, in the middle of it that goes straight up into the center of the tower up at the very top. And now you're standing out on the balconies and you're looking out over the water and you're seeing all the flags. And it was scary as all get out, y'all. It was hard. I mean, look, my wife had no problem with it. She just walked up there and she made fun of me because I'm being such a baby about it. But I got my dad's fear of heights, and there is just something about this thing that, I mean, like going up that inside stairwell, where that stairwell goes up 8 floors worth, and you're just looking down the middle at nothing underneath you. I'm like clinging to the walls, and I'm starting to really pay, but I made it all the way up, and I made it up to the top level, and then I didn't want to get near the rails, because, I mean, it's like the whole thing is fenced in. The whole thing is there's fencing all the way around it. Like, no matter how badly I stumbled and fell, I could not have fallen out of this tower. There is no way I could have fallen to my death. But it didn't matter. The heights were just...
Wait, hold on. Wasn't it a tower of stairs?
It was on the inside, yes. And...
Okay, good. So there was, still had walls.
There was no way for me to get hurt. And I'm aware of that. My mind knew that. But you know, when you're watching those videos on YouTube of people, it's almost always Russian 20-somethings, like running along the tops of construction sites, 30, 40, 50 stories in the air. They're just running along the edges of buildings, doing backflips, and like they could fall and die at any moment. And as you're watching them, your stomach just kind of like crawls up inside of you, and just, oh, that feeling. Yeah, when I'm standing at the top of the Dingle, at the top of this tall tower, seeing everything out open in front of me, that's the feeling I had nonstop while I was up there. It just, oh, it just freaks me out. And again,
by the way, do you know why it's called the Dingle?
I don't know. Named after Lord Dingle?
John Dingle III.
Okay. So, I just remember when I was a kid and we went up to the top of some, Space Needle or Sky Tower or somewhere, and my dad acted exactly the way I was acting on the Dingle, and we made fun of him mercilessly for being such a coward about heights, and now I am exactly him, and it was terrifying. Oh, God. But I got up there, I got some selfies with my wife, I was very brave. You guys would be proud of me. So,
I'm not.
That's day one. Day two,
yeah.
We saw, okay, this was the one that surprised me. We went to the Citadel. And the Citadel is a star-shaped fort in the center of town on a hill. And it's just, it's a historical place. Like, when I was a kid, we took field trips to Fort Ticonderoga up in New York. I've seen old forts before. I've seen, and so I knew this was going to be this historical thing, and I wanted to see it, but I didn't expect a whole lot out of it. And this place was so cool. They really worked to make history, really come alive. They obviously have put so much effort into this place. The Citadel was worth the money we paid for it. They had all the staff are actually dressed up as soldiers in period costumes. They had, real interactive displays with people in costume, and it was wonderful. They had my favorite part, they had World War I trenches. They had this whole exhibit on World War I trenches to celebrate the 100 years since the ending of World War I. And as part of this exhibit, you go out the door and they have reconstructed, life-size World War I trenches. So you get to walk through, and they've built them above ground, so they're actually built out of wood with sandbags on top. But it gives you this feeling of, here's the space they were moving in, here's how the floor kind of varied, as a 6 foot tall dude walking around, like all of a sudden, oh God, my head is above the ground level. Like, you can see how, I can't even imagine having to run around there if you were a tall guy, having to run around ducking down constantly, just to make sure your helmet didn't get shot off of you. But it was, they showed what the sleeping quarters were like in the trenches, what the first aid station was like, where the command posts would have been, it was just amazing. And you're just walking through it, and it was, it felt very visceral. It was very, it's not like at any point I actually, imagined myself in World War I, but it gave you a sense of what their space was like. And they had some, authentic posters of the day, put up, and it was just really cool. They had somebody had taken the time to actually put up, period accurate graffiti on the walls, this kind of stuff. It was just fascinating. So the Citadel.
What was that bit?
The graffiti that would have been, because in those trenches where the soldiers would have spent so much time in the trenches during the war, because you're hiding from the enemy and waiting for your opportunities, they had a lot of time down there. And so if you had, paint or some chalk or something like that, people would leave messages on the walls. And sometimes the messages are lists of the dead with names and ranks and the day they died. Some of it was, other stuff that was little jokes or whatever. The one that said, remember to keep your head down, because all of a sudden the floor got higher there, and so there's a big, big sign scrawled on the wall that says, keep your head down. That kind of stuff. It was interesting. I don't know if you guys are into history as much as I am. I loved the Citadel. It was great.
I'm kind of into history, so that's
I know you are, because you're really my kid, cool. And you're awesome.
It's actually really cool to hear about that.
Yeah, we were there, and we got to watch them fire off the cannons. We got to hear about life as a soldier there. We got to... they had the bagpipers playing. It was just cool. So that one was good. It was all good. We went to the Halifax Gardens, which is authentic Victorian gardens. Like they had a picture there. There was a signboard that showed... a shot of these gardens 100 years ago, and it's like you look at the sign, because my wife took a picture of the sign showing a photo of the gardens 100 years ago, and then you look up and you take a photo of the actual gardens in front of you, and yeah, they've preserved things really, really well.
I'm sorry, like it's almost uncannily. Like,
yes, yeah, they're still maintaining the gardens the same way they would have, with the same kinds of plants in the same arrangements, using the same techniques that they did 100 years ago, 150 years ago, and it's just beautiful, just gorgeous, and it's free. So, if you're in Halifax, good Lord, stop by the gardens. They're free, and you can spend a good hour, 2 hours in there just wandering around. And while we were there, we spotted a guy who looked exactly like the old man from Up, and he was just sitting on a bench playing on his phone, waiting for his wife, I assume, and so my wife got a picture of him. And then we also spotted a guy who looked just like the old guy at the beginning of Jurassic Park. So we got a picture of him, too.
Man,
it's just weird.
How many, How many old guys are actors?
Right. So it was just a matter of, you know, we were just walking around collecting old dudes, I guess.
Collect the old dude Mon.
So, let's see. That day we went to, Duncan's Cove. We went to, the Fairview Cemetery, which is where, Titanic survivors are buried. God, there's so much history. I'll do a couple of history segments, in later, episodes, just talking about some Halifax stuff because not the Titanic, because we've all heard plenty about the Titanic, but apparently, some of the rescue boats that went out, to help out came out of Halifax, and thus they had like 300 something bodies that they recovered and were brought back to Nova Scotia, and many of them are buried in this, Fairview Cemetery. And so we got to see those, including, some of them have been since identified and their names have been added, whereas others are just nameless, you know, nameless graves that the body is there and we've never been able to identify them. But one of the graves is actually a grave of J. Dawson, which it's just funny that there was an actual J. Dawson on the boat, which if you haven't seen the movie, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, the hero of the Titanic movie, was Jack Dawson. And so there is a J. Dawson who is buried there. Not any connection to the character from the movie whatsoever, who was purely fictional. But...
You thought it was funny that there was an actual Jack...
As you walk through, it's a J. Dawson. I don't even know if his name is Jack. I have no idea. But it's a J. Dawson, and you look, and here's all of these graves in a row from the Titanic, and J. Dawson is the one that has all these flowers laid on it. So people have specifically made a pilgrimage to this cemetery to lay flowers on the grave of a real person who shares the name with a fictional character from the same boat that they love. And they go and put flowers on his grave as a result. It was just very interesting. But anyway, the historical stuff, there's a lot of tragedy around Halifax. The one that I am probably going to do a piece on eventually, the Halifax explosion, where there was a huge explosion in the harbor, killed a couple thousand people. It was just massive. The Titanic was, off the coast in their waters where, they sent out the rescue ships for it. There's a Swedish airliner, Flight 111, that went down in the waters off of Halifax. It's like the Bermuda Triangle of the Canadian North. It is just weird. But anyway, I'll do more of that in some history later. More food, by the way. We went to the Ardmore Tea Room, which is just this, it says Ardmore Tea Room, so you're thinking it sounds a little, fancy and hipster, but it's not. It's like a breakfast diner. And it's a breakfast diner with breakfast diner prices. Like, I could go in there and get a grilled cheese sandwich for $3. Yeah, and not three real dollars, three Canadian dollars. So I'm getting my breakfast sandwich for my grilled cheese sandwich for like $2.40. That's, oh my God. That's like real diner prices. And we went in there and I had some breakfast poutine. That was phenomenal.
Man, some of the best stuff. How many breakfast poutines are you gonna have?
Well, it was lobster poutine and then breakfast poutine. So mom did lobster. I did breakfast. So I had poutine with, bacon and sausage and an egg thrown on top.
Google poutine for me.
No, poutine is French fries, covered with cheese curds, covered with brown gravy. That's regular standard poutine. But when you're in Canada, they will dress up anything and add all sorts of stuff to poutine. So mom's had lobster in it. Mine had bacon and sausage and eggs in the poutine. But it was great. It was really, really good. The desserts we tried. If you ever get to Canada and you find Beaver Tails is a pastry that you can get. It's like a really thin fried pastry with toppings that they put on it. If you've had funnel cakes at American fairs, it tastes a lot like funnel cake, except their toppings kick ass all over our toppings. So it was really good. I love the Beaver Tails. I would have eaten those every day if we didn't have so many things to be trying. On the last day, we did cows. Cows is an ice cream up there, and I have no idea if it's just Canadian or not. But cows ice cream, Lisa ordered the chocolate cheesecake and got two scoops of that in her cone and said it was absolutely phenomenal. I ordered the salted toffee, whatever it was, and I am telling you, the toffee sauce, cream, whatever this thing is, I mean, it was just dripping. It was like ice cream that was just gooey and sticky, and it was awesome. Oh my God. Cow's ice cream has spoiled me for all ice creams. It is really good. Totally worth trying. We ate at McDonald's while we were there because we had heard that, hey, if you're in another country, give McDonald's a shot just to see how it's different. And I will tell you, first off, they had a kiosk for ordering, so you didn't even have to go to the counter if you didn't want to, which I assume there are kiosks like that in America where you can order through an app or order at their kiosk instead of going out to the counter. I assume that that's all over the place, but we don't have one here in our town, so this is the first time we had seen it. No, we don't have the kiosk here.
But we do have an app.
We do have the app ordering, yes. That is true.
What's a kiosk?
It's like you walk in and instead of going up to the counter, they just have a little touch screen here, and you just touch the stuff that you want, and then you put your credit card in, and then it gives you a number, and now you just go wait for your food to come up. So, yeah, it's pretty slick. But my wife had fish and chips at Canadian McDonald's, because we do not have fish and chips here, and she said it was actually really good fish and chips, surprisingly. And I had I know, I'm in Canada, but I had the Australian burger, because it was their world tour. And so all summer long, they have, for 2 weeks at a time, they'll have, you know, first they had the Italian whatever burger, and, they had a, some kind of Szechuan, burger, so they could use up all that Szechuan sauce they made for Rick and Morty. And while we were there, Rick and Morty, Rick made this, they had a whole bit in one of the episodes where he went on and on about Szechuan sauce and how good this Szechuan sauce was. Szechuan sauce had only come out. It was for chicken nuggets, and it was back when the movie Mulan first came out. And so they made the special Szechuan sauce for dipping your chicken nuggets in, and then it went away. And he went on and on in the episode about how it was the best sauce ever, and it was his mission in life to make sure that everybody could have this. And so McDonald's has brought back Szechuan sauce because of the demand that came about from Rick and Morty. And now I assume that the Szechuan burger is just a way for them to get rid of some of this excess sauce, because once the fervor wore off, it's not that great. I mean, it's all right, but come on, Szechuan sauce isn't that good. So I think they made a whole bunch of it thinking this demand was going to continue. And it turns out once people had it, they're like, oh, that's all it is? Okay, never mind. But anyway, the burger that McDonald's had in Canada while we were there was the Australian burger. And so I went up, and it looks like it's got a fried egg on it, which apparently there's a theme for me. I love fried eggs on stuff. There's a fried egg on it. There's also bacon and barbecue sauce. And so I went up and ordered mine. I said, hey, can I get mine without the lettuce and tomato? And she says, oh, yeah, no problem. And she pulls it up, and she goes, oh, wait. She said, I'll take the lettuce off, but that's not tomato. That's actually beet chips. And I said, what? Beet chips. Yeah, dried beet chips on your burger, which I don't know if that's a real Australian thing or not. I've never heard of it. But I'm like, oh, no, all right, if it's beet chips, I'll take those, sure. And you know what? Wasn't bad. If I had an Aussie burger here at my McDonald's so that I could get a fried egg and beet chips on it, I probably would not get it. All right, there's other burgers I like better, but it was still pretty good. You know what? I may start ordering burgers at McDonald's with the fried egg on it. They now have their breakfast menu available 24 hours a day. So the eggs are right there. It's not like they couldn't put an egg on my burger. I should just make them do that. That sounds great. God, I should try their bacon smokehouse burger with an egg on it. That would be awesome. All right, anyway. I go astray a little bit. But also, in addition to McDonald's that day, first thing in the morning that day and then every day thereafter, we went to Tim Hortons. Now, Tim Hortons is everywhere in Canada. You can find a Tim Hortons everywhere. When we went to the airport, when we went back to the airport on our way out of town, there's a Tim Hortons, a full-size, full-service Tim Hortons right before you get to the airport. Like, it's the next building over from the airport. So that if you need your Tim Hortons coffee on your way to the airport, it is right there for you. And then you get into the airport and you've bought your tickets. Before you go through the gate, there's another Tim Hortons inside the airport right there.
I'm sorry, why are there so many Tims?
Hold on.
With the last name Horton.
Tim Hortons is the name of a restaurant. And,
I'm sorry, what?
And so if you missed the one that was outside the airport, there's a Tim Hortons right inside the door, built into the airport. You can go ahead and get your coffee there.
Why?
But then, after you've now gone through the gate and you've gone through security, and now you're waiting at the gates for your planes to arrive, there's another Tim Hortons inside the security, so that in case you missed it on the outside, you can't go back now, but don't worry, your Tim Hortons is in here. So, there were three Tim Hortons, just
Tim,
getting into
so
the
popular?
Airport and to the gate. Because Tim Hortons makes awesome coffee, and, they offer breakfast sandwiches and stuff like that. So kind of like McDonald's breakfast sandwiches or Burger King breakfast sandwiches, you can get Tim Hortons breakfast sandwiches, which are the same kinds of things. In fact, Tim Hortons and Burger King are owned by the same people in Canada. So,
sorry, what?
Tim Hortons and Burger King are owned by the same people in Canada. I assume owned by the same people in general, but at least in Canada, I know they're owned by the same company. And there are like 4,000 Tim Hortons restaurants in Canada, which is more than they have people. So that's pretty amazing.
I'm sorry, how many people do they have?
No, they have far more than 4,000. There are millions of people in Canada. I don't know an exact number. If my life was on the line and I had to guess how many people were in Canada, I would say somewhere between 30 and 60 million. But I do not know that for a fact. But you know what? I do have Google here. Hold on. Google tells me it's 36 million. So, okay. I was at least in the right ballpark. So, very cool. Tim Hortons, like I said, their coffee's good. I like their coffee. And I've always thought Tim Hortons, because there's a Tim Hortons everywhere in Canada. So I've always thought it's kind of like the Canadian version of Starbucks, because everyone makes jokes about how there's a Starbucks everywhere in America. Like, occasionally it's like the Starbucks that's right across the street from the Starbucks. And so I always thought Tim Hortons was like that. But Tim Hortons is not. Tim Hortons is the Canadian version of Dunkin' Donuts is what it is, because it's a breakfast place. I mean, yes, you can go there any time of day to get your coffee, but it is more of a focus on this breakfast, because you're getting out the door, you're on your way to work, so they've got a lot of drive-thrus, a lot of places where you can just go in, grab your coffee quick, and be on the go. And as far as being a competitor for Dunkin' Donuts, that's reasonable. I so enjoyed my Tim Hortons experience that I cannot wait for Tim Hortons to get to Nebraska, because There are now 4,000 of them in Canada and a little over 800 of them in the U.S. And they started spreading from New England, but they have now gotten, Tim Hortons has gotten as far into America as, Michigan and Kentucky. So, you know, they're on their way. They're getting closer. I mean, that's still mostly states near the border, but Kentucky's pretty far south.
I need to try their breakfast sandwiches.
You really do. You would like it.
Fried eggs and something else.
Right. Oh, it's fried eggs and sausage on a biscuit, or fried eggs and bacon I can't remember what the roll was. It doesn't matter. They got all sorts of good stuff. But the standard, and a lot of you will know this anyway, the standard cup of coffee at Tim Hortons is the double-double. True Canadians, apparently, order a double-double. And a double-double is two cream, two sugar. All right? Which, okay, whatever. We ordered ours black, and that's fine. But we're standing there ordering our black coffee.
Why's it gotta be black?
And this old guy comes in behind us, and after we're ordering our black coffee and we're waiting for our stuff, he says, I'll take a triple-triple double cup. So he wants three cream, three sugar, and double cup? What? Oh, apparently, like, literally, it means they're going to put your cup inside another cup so that, you know, it's not so hot when you have to hold it. Okay. So he got the triple-triple. And then we noticed in their advertising on one of their posters, it says double-double, but then later you can also see the triple-triple. And then down below is something called a 4x4. I'm like, no way is 4x4 a 4 cream, 4 sugar. Sure enough, no. 4x4 means they want your coffee with 4 cream and 4 sugar. And
what?
as I'm looking this up, it's a question, it's a Reddit thread where they're talking about it, and you wind up getting all these Tim Hortons former employees, current employees, comparing horror stories of what is the most they've ever seen anyone order to go into their coffee. And they're talking about people who routinely came in with 6 cream, 6 sugar, or the one guy who constantly came in and every day wanted 19 sugars in his coffee. No cream, 19 sugars. This was just phenomenal how much stuff they put in. And then they start comparing notes. Maybe you guys don't care, but I thought it was fascinating. They started comparing notes on, well, yes, but, you know, a double-double is, 2 creams and 2 sugars is very different when you put it into a small coffee versus when you put it into an extra-large coffee. So with an extra-large, triple-triple would make more sense. And all of the Tim Hortons employees said, oh, no, no, that's not how it works. When we push double-double, we're pushing 2 cream, 2 sugar, that's proportional to a medium coffee. So that's automatically dispensed by the machine, so no matter whether you're getting a small coffee or an extra large coffee, if you order a double-double, it will always taste the same. It is consistent. And so it proportionally, yeah, that extra large coffee probably has like 3.5 creams, 3.5 sugars total in it if you're ordering a double-double. So they're like, no, if you're ordering that many, that's, you're getting proportionally that much. And that's how the machines work. I'm like, I would now like to see all those machines and see what they wind up hitting and how you do 6 and 6. Like, do they have settings for that? You just have to hit the button so many times.
Wait, Dad.
You set numbers on it? I don't get it. What? Yeah, kid.
Do you think I would enjoy a double-double?
Mm. Okay. The second day when we went, because the first day we got black coffee, the second day I ordered a double-double because I felt like I'm in Canada, I have to try it. And it turns out I really liked it. Like, the first few sips, I'm like, oh, it's coffee with cream and sugar in it. That's all. It just tastes like cream and sugar and coffee. But then, as I got further into it, and then I ordered it again the next day, and the day after, I started to get used to it, and I was like, oh, no, this is cool, and it kind of takes the edge off, and it kind of,
So you think I'd like a double-double?
I think you would, but...
Alright, so... The next time we go to Casey's and there's a Tim Hortons.
Right, that's right. Or next time we're in Canada, we will order you a Tim Hortons double-double.
Well, you need to keep it hot.
So, okay, double-double and a double cup. How's that? Anyway, I was obsessed with Tim Hortons. I love Tim Hortons. I think they're great. Okay, but second day, we finished off by going to the beach. And it was really, really pretty and really pleasant. We watched the sun go down. And it was super romantic and awesome. We walked along the beach, and the first thing you notice, because it was like, it got a little warm that day, it was almost 80 degrees. And so, it's a little warm, and there's people out there swimming and playing in the water and having a great time. And the minute our toes touched the water, oh my God, it's ice! The ocean is freezing cold! It was torture! Oh my God! I mean, we eventually got used to it, but it was still really cold the entire time. I don't know how anyone goes swimming in that. It's crazy. But walking along the beach was very sweet and romantic. It was very cool. Let's see. Third day, we went to Lunenburg, which is a fishing village. Well, first we went to the ovens. And I already told you about the ovens with the Thunder Caves. That was awesome. Lunenburg, fishing village, very picturesque. All the houses are brightly pastel-colored. And there's a whole story behind that on how they built their homes from leftover wood from ships as ships came out of service, and the wood was repurposed to make houses. And so they used the same bright colors on the houses that they did on the ships when they painted them. And it's just a gorgeous little town. It's very cute. And while we were there, we went on a nature watching tour. So we took the boat out. Well, they took the boat out and we just rode along. And there was like, 25 people on the boat. And we went out and there was a possibility of seeing whales, which we did not see, but we did see porpoises and we did see a whole bunch of harbor seals. And the seals were swimming around in the water and basking themselves on the rocks. And, it was cool. It was cool. And it was a 3-hour tour. We had a great time. No, they didn't, but they did sort of get up and move around when they saw the boat come, and some of them would swim out towards us.
Oh, that's adorable sounding.
So, yeah, it was great.
Also, speaking of adorable, Sam's new harness is so cute when it's on him.
Oh, he's God, the so harness cute. Works so well, too.
And he's keeps also him from so choking cute him. In it.
He is.
I have to admit that.
You know what? We should get one with a bow tie. He'd be even cuter.
Oh, my God.
Yes. But after Lunenburg, we drove down to, what's the name of it? Oh, wait, while we were in Lunenburg, we ate at the South Shore Fish Shack, which I cannot normally say really fast. I stumble over
South
that
Shore
one all the time. Yeah, exactly. At the South Shore Fish Shack, my wife had, scallops.
South Shore Fish Shack.
And they were really good. All the food was good. And then I just had regular poutine, because we had to have at least one poutine every meal, apparently.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. It was a fish place, and I'm not big on seafood, so I just got the poutine. I'm looking at my notes here. And, oh, that's what it was. We went to Mahone Bay after that. And Mahone Bay, and it's the only thing notable about Mahone Bay for us. It was a cute little town. But it has three churches that sit right near each other. So when you get out on this one boardwalk, there's this perfect shot of the three churches together sitting on the shore, and it's very picturesque. And so we got that picture. And then by this point in the day, we were getting a little hungry. And so we were just looking for anywhere to eat. It didn't matter. And as we're on our way out of Mahone Bay, there's a little place called Rebecca's Restaurant. Now, I don't know what you picture when I say Rebecca's Restaurant, but to me, I'm thinking, it sounds like home cooking. It sounds like I'm going to go in there and find some chopped beef steak and some mashed potatoes and some,
good old steak.
Before we go in, because we're sitting across the street from Rebecca's Restaurant, we're sitting at that little dock where we took the cool picture. And
by the way, what was that one picture you sent, like, Grandma? Who took it?
Oh, the picture that we sent, the boats at night?
No, where it was you and Mom sitting.
Oh, on the beach?
Together.
Oh, that was...
On that one little...
I told you, Peter took that picture.
Who's Peter?
I don't know, some Canadian who was very nice. They were all very nice. Everyone in Canada
was
so happy to talk to us, and they found out where we're from, and so, well, as long as you're here, and they'd start giving us a whole list of stuff that we need to go see, and what's exciting, and where you're going to find things, and they were all so nice. But we were going to eat at... we were going to eat at Rebecca's Restaurant, but we thought, you know what, as long as we're here, let's see what they have on the menu. So we pull up Rebecca's Restaurant menu from the internet, and I did not expect the grilled portobello mushrooms stuffed with truffle sauce stuff. It was all very, very experimental and very upscale sounding. It made a point on the kids menu. Like, there is a kids menu. And the kids' menu was just preachy, super preachy. It says right at the top that there is no, chicken strips or French fries available in this restaurant. That's how it opens up the kids' menu. And then gives us a little lecture about healthy eating for children. And we're like, although while it says no chicken strips and no French fries and goes on about its healthy eating, the very first thing listed on the kids' menu is cheesy pasta something, right? Basically mac and cheese, but she renamed it so it didn't look like mac and cheese. So yeah, she's not as all hoity-toity as that. But either way, we didn't like the attitude that menu was giving us, so we moved on. And ultimately, we ate at the Sou'wester, which is the restaurant at Peggy's Cove, which I already described, the lighthouse. And Peggy's Cove was amazing. The Sou'wester was good, but the important part about the Sou'wester is my wife had an entire lobster, which she has never had in her life. She's had lobster plenty of times, but it's always just the lobster tail. And now she's had real lobster. And she said it was good, but when you order real lobster, man, if you want as much meat as the, you know, ordering a tail at Red Lobster gets you, man, you got to pay a lot to get a big lobster. And it's an awful lot of work. And she's like, okay, I've done it. Now I don't ever have to do that again. I'm fine. So we had that experience. God, I'm sorry to focus so much on food, but like I said, we tried a bunch of stuff. Again, a Halifax specialty, the Donaire. Donaires originated in Halifax, and I don't know where else you can get them, but you can get them in Halifax, all over the place.
I'm sorry, why do they sound so much like donuts?
I don't know. Donaires actually come from shawarma, come from kind of Greek food. It is a spicy shaved meat on a pita. So it's very Greek. And the, originally they were making sandwiches with goat meat. But when it became the donair, it had evolved into using beef because goat was not as available up there. And so they've got the big old roll of meat on a spit and they're shaving the spicy beef off of there. Grill it up, throw it into your pita. You add tomatoes and onions. And then they add, and here's what makes it a donair. They add the donair sauce. And I don't know what's in a donair sauce. I could look. Probably human blood, except it's all white. It is this, it is a very white sauce that is very sweet. So, have you ever had Dorothy Lynch dressing? You probably have.
Yeah, it's disgusting on macaroni.
Well, alright, you don't know salad, so.
If you've, Dad, it, macaroni salad made by our family is disgusting.
Alright, anyway, if you have ever had Dorothy Lynch dressing, it's a very sweet dressing. Donair sauce doesn't taste like Dorothy Lynch, but it is as sweet as. And when my wife said, oh, it's kind of like putting Dorothy Lynch on something. And you know, she's trying to describe to me, so I took a bite of mine, and I'm like, oh yeah, it doesn't taste like Dorothy Lynch, but I get it's that same sweetness of it. It's really interesting. And I liked the donair. I thought they were really good.
Disgusting sweetness.
If I had a donair place here in town to choose from among all my fast foods, you know, I wouldn't eat there every night, but, you know, once a month I'd go, hey, why don't we have donairs again? Oh, yeah, why don't we do that? That would be cool. So, donairs were good. If you're in Halifax, you have to try them, because that's the only place to get them, or at least only place to get authentic ones. We went to Johnny K's Authentic Donairs, and really liked them. So, that was good. All right, now we're down to the last day. What did we do on the last day? Not nearly as much. It is... Oh, we drove over to Fisherman's Cove, which Fisherman's Cove was, if you are ever in Halifax, right across the water, from Halifax is, they have their sister city on the other side of the water, which is Dartmouth. And Dartmouth, every time you talk about Halifax online, there's always somebody to pop up and go, hey, don't forget about Dartmouth. Dartmouth has all sorts of great stuff. And then they'll start listing off because they have their own boardwalk and they have their own. But, you know, they try, but Dartmouth is just not Halifax. It's when you look up the history of Dartmouth, the reason people moved there is because the governor ordered people to move to Dartmouth and start setting up stuff there. They only went because they were forced. That's how Dartmouth was founded. And they try. And it's, you know, it's got some stuff, but it feels, it's not Halifax. They're kind of an also-ran, and they really keep trying, but it's just not quite the same. But, if you drive down from Dartmouth, you go down their coast, a few miles, a few kilometers, you will get to, Fisherman's Cove, which is a cute little fishing village, and it's actually, all of these fishing villages we went to, they're all still fishing villages. They actually have lots of people in them that make their living from the sea, but also, they are also tourist destinations at the same time. And this one had the nicest shops and souvenir stuff and just kitschy little, weird touristy things. And it was just, we really enjoyed being in Fisherman's Cove. That was the one nice thing about the Dartmouth side of the water. But while we were over there, my wife had hunted down the Halifax Press, which is just a food truck that sells grilled cheese. And, loved their grilled cheese. It was great. And someone says, yeah, but come on, you're going to pay that kind of money for grilled cheese sandwiches? It's like, well, they're not just grilled cheese sandwiches. It's grilled cheese sandwiches, but with all sorts of stuff thrown onto them that you can get all kinds of ingredients added to your grilled cheese, all kinds of meats, all kinds of vegetables. And thus, once you start adding all that stuff to it, it's not a grilled cheese. Now it's a melt. And if you go into restaurants nowadays, yeah, you can charge that much for a melt. And that's what these are. And I think their business model for this little, grilled cheese cart, the grilled cheese truck, I think was really cool because they start off with, I mean, they have some specialty sandwiches you can just order. But what most people get is you just get the classic $6 grilled cheese. And you're like, $6? That's reasonable. That is reasonable for a sandwich. I'll pay $6.
Six Canadian dollars.
Right, $6 Canadian. It's not even, that's only like, you know, $5. But when you look at it, It's like, okay, I'm paying $6 for my grilled cheese, but now, oh, look at all these add-ons at the bottom. I could put on bacon or a fried egg or, ooh, caramelized onions. Oh, that would be good. Yeah. And so
caramelized
once you start adding on all of those, now you're up to a $9 sandwich. All right. Cool. It was a great model. If I was ever to own a food truck, which I never would, but if I did own a food truck, it would be a grilled cheese truck like that with that same kind of business model of have your standard cheap grilled cheese, but all sorts of really cool, flavorful add-ons.
I would also try fake peanut butter on your grilled cheese, because apparently chicken's good with your peanut butter.
Well, okay. You know what? I will try putting peanut butter on the next grilled cheese I make. I am right there with you, pal.
And I'll try it with
you. We will do it. Okay, we will do it.
Because if that is actually...
All right. Also, last thing, and this is the end of our vacation. I'm trying to see if I've missed any foods that we got, any places we hit. I probably missed some stuff, but that was our catch-up day, was that last day. So we went down to Fisherman's Cove.
Mustard Day?
We did. That's funny. We did some souvenir shopping while we were there. We hit the Maritime Museum, which we hadn't really been planning on, but we had the extra time, and my mother-in-law really, she, every time she talked about us going to Halifax, oh, she's like, oh, you're going to go to the Maritime Museum? I'm like, well, we might if there's time. Oh my God, if I was there, that would be the first thing I'd go. Sometimes she was really excited about it because they have a whole display on the Titanic and all this stuff. And we went through, and there were parts of it that were really cool. There was some historical, bits that we really liked, especially on piracy and shipwrecks and recovered treasure. And that was all really cool stuff. And then there was some of it that was, you know, details of steam engines that was less exciting for us. But we did the Maritime Museum, later that day. Apparently right by our house where we were staying, we kept passing by this spot that said Dead Man's Island down here. And apparently there is a United States War Memorial in Dead Man's Island Park in Halifax, Canada. Apparently, they had on an island right near there, they had a prisoner of war camp around the War of 1812. And so American prisoners of war had been kept there in Halifax on this little island, and many of them died there of their wounds or disease or whatever else. And so they wound up being buried on this little island, and just recently, the graves were found and identified and realized what it was. And so Canada, working with the U.S., made arrangements for them to come up, and there was a whole ceremony. And they put up this Dead Man's Island Memorial to commemorate the U.S. dead who died in the prisoner of war camp there. So, okay. And we went down to find this thing, and it's like there's a sign that said Dead Man's Island this way. So we drive on down there, and no, it's just like this super rich neighborhood. Like these huge, huge houses, super rich, and there's no park, there's no anything. And finally, so we're driving back up the hill, and you can see on the side of the road, there's no parking space for it, there's no set aside for it, it's just a path that leads between the houses, and it says Dead Man's Island Park this way. So we park our car on the road, and we hop on this little thing, and oh yeah, if you hit on this path, all of a sudden it goes down these steps, and you're like winding through this little garden, and you're like just in between two rich people's houses. But it's this little public space between the houses. We're like, okay, this is weird. And it leans back into the trees, and it's like this dark, from the outside, it looks like this dark tunnel leading into the trees. I'm like, okay, well, wherever the path takes us, I guess. And we follow it down, and now you're going through this whole thick wooded area again, just between a couple of rich people's properties. It's not like it's this huge park. It's just this narrow, thick, tree-wooded area. But there's this beautiful, beautiful path that leads down the hill going through these trees in between the houses. And then we get down and like, oh, hey, there's water here. Okay. And so we hit the water, and there's like chairs set up there, and like, okay, that's still some rich person's property. That's their barbecue, and these are their chairs, and that's their boathouse. But the path now goes off to the side over here. Okay, so we follow the water around. And one of these rich houses, like, we're looking at it from the back, and it's like, oh my God, this thing is, massive. It's like 4 stories tall. And it's all decks and angles and dark, dark wood and this weird, driveway where clearly he's got his boathouse up there, and this is where he brings his boat down to the water, and it's this huge place. And I realize, you can't see this from the road. Up above, there is no spotting this at all. I remembered what was up top because we were looking so hard to see where we might park or where we could go. There's no sign of this house from the top, and we confirmed that on the way out. It's like, this thing is completely hidden in here. There's nothing up top but the hint of, oh yeah, if I drive around this little rock, there's a driveway there that takes me down to it. And that's all you can see of it. This mansion, this massive thing, and it's just completely hidden from the road. But anyway, follow the path all the way around past this super rich hidden house where I assume Canadian Batman lives. That's the kind of gothic sense I was getting off of it.
Then where's the Sorry Cave?
And the Sorry Cave, that's good. And once you follow the path all the way around, now you're actually in a park. And it's not a big park, but it's actually now, finally, everything opens up and there's, you know, sunlight and blue skies. And it's a park on the water and there's all these memorial plaques and this explanation of the history. And this is where many of the bodies were found, was on this location. But where the prison actually was across the water on a different island. And so you can look across over to that island and they're like, yeah, we don't actually have anything there because that's now owned by the Melville Island Yacht Club. And sure enough, there's this big old clubhouse on top of the hill there and 100 rich people's boats all parked around the yacht club. And so that's where the prisoner of war camp was. It's where the yacht club is now. But it was really cute. And it just, like, it was right there by our house, but man, you had to really go hunting for it. Like, if someone had tried to tell us that we needed to go there, you would miss it on the first three tries. I mean, we really had to be looking for this thing. But, you know, hidden treasure. And it was really cool. Just to uncover this out of nowhere. So we enjoyed that. We capped off the day, capped off our whole vacation, headed back down to the boardwalk where it all started, and we rode the ferry across the water from Halifax to Dartmouth. We rode the ferry across at sunset, and it was gorgeous. You have never done anything so romantic. It is so pretty. Watching the lights, everything starts to light up, and then by the time we hung out in Dartmouth for about a half hour until the next ferry was ready to leave, and after a half hour in Dartmouth, seeing their park and their boardwalk and all this stuff, we make our way back, and now, yeah, the lights are on in the city of Halifax, but the boardwalk itself was just dark. It was just black because, well, everything's shut down now. It's, you know, 11 o'clock at night and it's time for everyone to go home. And there's this strange aspect of taking the ferry and having it be, like I say, it was just romantic. It felt really intimate. And it was really cool to be there together on our anniversary and enjoying the water and the sights. But at the same time, there's a guy, while we were waiting for the ferry, there's a guy waiting with us who is wearing what's obviously a restaurant uniform, still has his apron on. He is carrying a leftover bag with him, so he's got his little styrofoam container in a bag, which is clearly his own dinner, which he got from the kitchen before everything closed down. And this is a guy who's just coming home from work, and at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, as he's coming home from work, the ferry at a buck is the cheapest way for him to get across the water and get home. And so for him, this is just public transportation. This is what he does every single day of his life. He's just getting home. And to us, it's this romantic getaway kind of thing, this touristy vacation item. And for him, he's just a dude who needs to get to his apartment. It's like romanticizing the subway in a way. The idea that you're going to go to a smelly New York subway where people are just trying to get home, but you're going to get down there with your wife and you guys are going to smooch under the subway lights and take selfies of each other and hug and, oh, it's so sweet. It was like that, except, you know, it's a boat, so it's romantic. It was cute. And then after that, we went to the casino for a little bit because it was right there on the water. I mean, we parked our car in the casino parking garage, so we figured as long as we were there, we might as well spend $20. And $20 Canadian, by the way. And $20 Canadian at the cheap slots. God, that was like an hour and a half. Like, that was great money spent. We had a really good time. And the best thing about Canadian casinos, nobody smokes inside a Canadian casino. You go to American casinos and American casinos all have signs up that say absolutely no smoking, absolutely no smoking. And yet they put out ashtrays for everybody. So they don't really mean it. And so every casino we've been to in the States is just thick with smoke, no matter where you go. Canadian casino, no smoke whatsoever. It was wonderful. God, I would love to be Canadian for a while. It seemed like such a great place. So that was our vacation in, you know, wrapped up in a quick hour. How's that? So we had a good time. And again, I think I will be developing at least one or two, history segments off of that. I am obsessed with all things Canada right now, so I'm sure you will hear me reference back to this and talk ad nauseum about Canada in the future. But, you know, hey, it's my thing right now. So let's see what comes up after this. You know what? Get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd rage came flashing back. And I just looked at him and went, "Rrr!"
That's right. It's time for some nerd rage. All right. Today, just today, I drove to Lincoln with my son because Jacob just got a job. He's working for the state of Nebraska, and it's going to be awesome. He's found himself a great job, and he just needs a place to live. And so we drove down there, and look, it's been a long time since I've had to hunt for an apartment, but he had made some calls and he had some appointments and he didn't want to drive down by himself because it's a long way to go. So I rode with him and, we went apartment hunting and we had appointments to see a couple of different places. And then we just kind of drove around to look at the sites of where some of the other ones were, give him sort of a feel for the city. Like literally one of the first apartment listed that was, and we didn't have an appointment to see this one today. First apartment listed, $480. And I'm like, wow, that looks a lot like the buildings you used to live in, Lisa. And it took us a while to sort out. It was the buildings she used to live in. It was her old apartment building. And there was a listing for it, which, again, they didn't actually have anything available. That we didn't go see that one. But another one for $600. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's the location on that one? That's the building I used to live in. And so both of our apartments were listed on this site. But we went down there, looked around, got a feel for the city. Jacob was feeling very comfortable with all of it. Lincoln's a nice place. It really is. And, and even though, you know, cross town, as long as you're inside Lincoln proper, it's not, but you know, 15, 20 minutes to get across town. It's not horrible. And so we drove it a little bit and then we had our first appointment and the first appointment was so nice. And the woman showing us around was so sweet, and the apartment was way bigger than I thought it was going to be, and there's a washer and dryer in it, and they had a dishwasher, which Jacob has never lived with a dishwasher since he left our house. And it was awesome. And we didn't want to gush too much because it's only the first place that we've looked at, so, you know, maybe we're idiots and we don't know what's good and what's not. So, but man, that was a great place. And then we went to the second one, and this is where the nerd rage comes in. This is, I am going to guess that this is the kind of thing that goes on all over the country, and I'm just naive, and I'm just not familiar with it. These people were terrible. This was a place called should I give the names? Here's the experience I had with it, is this place lists their apartment for, it's a one-bedroom apartment, they list it for $755. That's the going rate. Well, actually, originally it listed for $705, but they wound up telling us $755 was the cost of this apartment. So we head down there, and the mistake they made was we had an appointment for 3 o'clock, but someone else walked in just a couple minutes before that, and so they just got to just take our appointment, and then we had to wait around until someone was ready, which, okay, things happen. That's fine, right? But that means that we got to sit there and hear all the discussion that this young couple had with them before we started taking our tour. And everything we saw was not good. It was, it's $755 for this little apartment. But there's also the $35 amenity fee per month. So, you know, to make use of the to make use of the fitness center, which, by the way, was super nice. To make use of the fitness center, the pools, all these other amenities that we have for the apartment buildings, make use of those. It's $35 a month, and that's not optional. So, well, if it's not optional, then just include that in the damn rent. What is with calling it $7.55 and then charging me an extra $35? And there's also an extra $3 garbage fee every month, also not optional. You have to pay for your own water, which is unusual in an apartment building in this state. But you have to pay for your own water, but we do the meters ourselves, so actually you just pay us for the water. And, you know, for a one-bedroom apartment, you know, budget in about $15-$20 a month for that. So that would be, okay, fine. Every other apartment we've even talked to, water is included. Water, sewer, trash is all included in apartment buildings, but not here. So now we've already raised everything up to, you know, from $7.55, we're now up a good bit over $800. Oh, and you want the cat. Okay, well, cat is an extra $20 a month. So, okay, that's fine. We'll figure that in. And so it winds up being the $750 apartment is actually getting strikingly close to $900 a month for a one-bedroom apartment. And now, look, the fitness center is great, and Jacob wants a gym membership, and so, you know, that counts for a little bit, but this is excessive. And then, while we're in the middle of this, my wife sends me this note that says, ask them if the rent is different if you ask for a shorter lease. And we said, Oh yeah. What if he needed a shorter lease? What if we were only looking for 6 months instead of 12? Oh yeah, there's a little bit of a bump in rent when you do something like that. Hold on, let me look that up. Oh yeah, that'd be an extra $150 a month. $150 a month for taking a shorter lease. Oh my God. All right. But this isn't the worst part. This isn't the ragiest part. I mean, this is pretty ragey for me already. And again, maybe I'm just naive. Maybe this is something that goes on all over the place. But it shouldn't. God, it absolutely shouldn't. No, I'm watching this young couple ahead of us. And they're obviously young couple, either newlywed or they will be newlywed within the year. They had that vibe about them. And you can tell that they are super excited about getting this apartment together. And yet, they keep hitting snags that you can see the fear and hesitation on their faces, but they're going to power through it anyway. And so they hit some of the same things that we saw later with the different fees and all the stuff that's going into this. But then it's there's a $30 application fee. So just to file an application with them, to have them look you over, is $30 non-refundable. All right, whatever. Most other places we had talked to, if they had a filing fee, it was $10. But all right, 30, whatever. You want to make sure people are serious. I get it. All right, I guess that's fine. But then, instead of doing a deposit, instead of doing a big deposit, most places were asking for a 1 month's rent in deposit. This place is saying, no, our deposit is only $100. But at the time that you pay your deposit, we're also asking that you pay a $100 or $150 administrative fee. It's just a one-time payment for administrative costs involved with getting you set up. And that $150 is non-refundable as long as you're accepted. So if we reject your application for whatever reason, then you'll get that $150 back. But if we have accepted your application, that $150 is ours and no refunds on that. So that's where this young couple is they've now paid the $30 for the application and the $150 for the administrative fee. So they're $180 in. And so as they keep getting hit with different stuff and, oh, well, yeah, and we said you'd have to pay your water. So you're going to have to pay the standard water connection fee, which is just a one-time payment of, you know, $40 or whatever it was. I'm eavesdropping at this point, so I don't have all the details exactly right. But they kept adding on fees and it was, you could just see at this point, if the couple had thought about it, if they had realized that these fees added up to another $100, $120 a month, that the smart thing to do, I mean, well, the smart thing to do would have been to do your research and have all of that information before you actually paid them any money. But failing that, once they kind of, it sank in and they realized how much this was going to cost them, the smart thing to do would be, yeah, I know that $180 is non-refundable, but we're better off right now to go, we screwed up, let's cut our losses and walk away. And we will just lose that $180 rather than having to pay an extra $100 a month for the next year for the privilege of living here and not losing our $180. That's what they should have done. But of course, they can't do that. They're a young couple and they're in this. And oh, well, it's just a little extra. Well, okay, I guess we can live with that. Oh, it's just a little extra more. Okay, I guess we can live with that. And they just nickel and dimed them. And it was just grotesque to watch. It was horrible to watch. Painful. And I felt so bad for these two, and I didn't know what to do. Well, there was nothing for me to do. It's not my... But it was terrible. It was terrible. This place was horrible. It was just so mean. And then it got to the... they got to the full deposit, because they'd already paid the $150 or $180, whatever it was. And now they have to pay the $100 deposit, and that's $100. That's all it is. It's $100. And this woman says, oh, yeah, no, we can't take plastic for that. No checks. No, this has to be either cash or it has to be a certified check. Yeah, you're going to have to. All right, which, by the way, look, they can take credit cards there because they'll take credit cards for your rent. So you could run your debit card or your credit card or whatever to pay your rent there. You could run a check to pay your rent there, which means they have the technology right there in front of them to just run your card or your check through the machine and verify you have the funds. And get their lock on those funds immediately. They have that ability, but for some reason they're dicking with these people and choosing not to. Oh, no, it needs to be a certified check. You're going to have to run over to the bank or the gas station or whatever, and you're going to have to get yourself a certified check before we can. Oh, my God, they were terrible. So cruel. And I just, it was horrifying. And the two women that were working the desk here, the two women that were doing, because we got, they were actually, there was another woman who was sealing the deal over there while we were waiting around, but we didn't overhear her conversation. And the two women that were working there, the employees on site, the one, you know, one of them gave us a tour and all this, both young, both extremely good looking. The one that was helping us was wearing this very flimsy, very short-cut sundress, and just all, you know, young and innocent and flirty, and oh, she just oohs and ahs over everything that Jacob says, and very complimentary, and oh yeah, that sounds so wonderful, and that's, oh, that's so great, that's a, oh, and just, and yet you pose any really tough questions to them, oh, we just work here, we're just the middlemen, I don't really know if I can't, oh, I don't know why they do it that way, that does seem weird, it's just, I don't know, oh geez, I'm just a girl, oh. Which, okay, she didn't say, I'm just a girl, but that was the, it was this flirty, lighthearted, it felt like when I see the pharmaceutical reps show up, and, I mean, now they're a little more power, you know, they wear darker clothes, and they're a little more aggressive, but when the pharmaceutical reps show up at the hospital to talk to the doctors, they're always really hot young women who get in there and they buy lunches for the doctors and they flirt with them and they treat them well and then they lay out all the goods from their pharmaceutical company. It just, it's that using that flirtation and that sexuality to sell stuff, and the whole place just felt smarmy. Ugh, it was gross. So anyway, that's my rage, is that I can't believe that they're allowed to treat people like that. I can't believe that they get away with that. And I'm sure there's nothing illegal in anything they're doing. But, you know, the first place we looked at was $700 a month, all utilities included. The pet's there, but it just costs an extra deposit. That's fine if you want a cat. Just, you know, it's extra $100 on your deposit. No big deal. But everything was so upfront and so, you know, which is what I remember from when I was hunting for apartments back, you know, 30 years ago. That's how I remember doing things, is that it was, oh yeah, here's how much rent is, and deposit is usually equal to 1 month's rent, and that's it, you know, and it's a discussion of, do I pay my own electric, or is that included? You know, this place he has to pay his electric, but, you know, water, sewer, trash is all included, cable is included, he's got cable TV if he wants it, he's got, you know, And it was so simple, and that's the way I remember it. And so to see this other place where they're just being so sleazy about it, and so many hidden costs and fees, and just, it was gross. So there you go. That's my nerd rage. Now, it's time to move on to the Pod-O-Matic. But I'm a little hesitant about it, because I've got 9 or 10 Pod-O-Matics that Aiden and Emily marked off. And I know that episode is lost, but I don't know if I should just save those and do an in memoriam on them and just put them aside because they've been done, just not, you know, on a recording that we're releasing. Or do I put them back into the mix and try them again? Because that would be more fair to you, the listener. And I'm not quite sure. So I'm only going to do one today. And that one is number 13. Hot dog, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums. I'll add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. All right, that number was 13. And 13 comes from... Oh, there it is. Hey, it's from Ronster. And Ron says, what is the last thing you ate, and guesstimate how many people it required to arrive in your hands? Okay, the last thing I ate was an order of potato olays from Taco John's. And the estimate of how many people it took for those potato olays to get from the ground to my mouth is probably, well, oh man, that's really huge, because I'm going to guess, you know, somewhere in the order of 1,000 or more. That's just spitballing it. Because some farmer, or more than likely multiple farmers, grew the potatoes. Because if you trace back my potato olays, it's just, I don't know if you've ever been to Taco John's potato olays. If you imagine a tater tot, but then cut that barrel in half so it's only half as tall. So now instead of a barrel-shaped tot, it's more of a disc. Those are potato olays, and then they're spiced up with some kind of really cool spice that Taco John's uses. That's a potato olay. And so I had a large order of potato olays, and that's all I ate. And so those potatoes, did they all come from one farm? Did they come from multiple farms to get those little processed potato bits into my particular olays? You know, I would guess multiple farms that may involve multiple people. All of that gets shipped and sold, and then has to be bought up by some ag company that processes things, and then it gets, you know, packaged up by whoever specifically makes and seasons the Taco John's olays, and then has to go through Taco John corporate. I mean, there's people who have to be responsible for the buying and selling of all of their products and arranging the menus. And it's, I mean, almost everyone who works at Taco John's above the local store level, everyone who works at corporate is really kind of involved in getting my Olays to me, aren't they? So, I mean, you know, between them and whatever ag company processor that they bought all of this material from, to whatever actual farmers farming corporation they bought it from to get it to my local. Oh, yeah, and then there's all the transportation, so you've got all the truckers, and are those truckers, those are probably corporate trucks, so they're, like, being coordinated by other staff that, yeah, you know what, I'm going to put somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 people had some sort of hand in getting my potato olays to me to be consumed. That's just a guess. But, man, if you told me it was a lot more than that, I wouldn't be surprised. I would be surprised if it was less than 1,000. But not if you told me it was... You know, if you said, oh, well, there's actually 10,000 people in this process, and here's why, I would believe you. You know, I would get that. But I'm going to guess between 1,000 and 2,000. There you go. So, that is the end. So, I'm going to leave it up to GLaDOS to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week, I didn't use any. But if I had, look, all the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. And write us a nice review because those make the difference. Or write us a crappy review and give us 5 stars because it's really the stars that anyone cares about. If you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying it, spread the word. Find one other person that you think is nerdy enough to really like this and get them to force them to listen to it. Tie them down and put the earbuds in their ears and make them listen to it. That's what's going to help us. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode, send it to me like Kyle did and save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the best way to talk to me, come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up, you send me a message, we hang out together, we become best friends in the world. We have fun. And that's it. There's no listener betrayal tonight. I knew it was going to be a long one to do my travelogue episode, and then my nerd rage. And so therefore, I didn't even bother to set up listener betrayal at all. My apologies to the Platinum members whose questions got answered last week and no one will ever get to hear it. I'm going to work with Aiden and hopefully even with Emily and see what we can do about reconstructing some of that episode and getting her back on the show because that sounds like a lot of fun. So, you guys are awesome. I appreciate you putting up with my boring vacation stories. You are the best. I missed you guys a lot. I'm really glad to be back. I love you. I will see you next week. Goodbye.